Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile.
Hi, this is Duncan with iPodcast Magic Missile, and today we've got a new feature for you. In the studio with us are two of the greatest storytellers I know, Blake, owner of the friendly local gaming store Fun Games.
Say hi, Blake.
Hi, Blake.
And Heikov, expert game master and author of the great advice blog, DMing with Charisma.
Say hi.
Hi, Blake.
Without further ado, this is Storytime with Blake and Heikov.
So this is our first story time with Blake and Heikov, and we explicitly avoided planning a story in advance, because that's not how good stories happen, and probably what'll end up being this story is like five or six story times with Blake and Heikov down the road. I figure we'll do the story of the first story time with Blake and Heikov, and what a colossal failure it was.
The only story I had planned was why do I get second billing until I realize it fit the cadence better. Blake and Heikov, it's iambic.
As the world's most musically stupid man, I couldn't speak to that.
The iams are known as Perry Paul, but shut up.
They were in alphabetical order.
What about, as by way of brainstorming, the first time that we gamed together?
That was right after you punched that bee.
I don't remember this.
All I remember is the first meeting I attended physically of the God RPG Club.
Ah.
It was in the back room of Fun and Games, back when they had a back room, back in that tiny claustrophobic area where you go when you don't want to get out in case of a fire. And at just the middle of the thing, Blake got up and went, "A bee!" and punched it. Like, I'm sure. Thing, verb.
That sounds like me. I don't have a specific recollection of this, but I have punched many a bee.
I remember sitting across from him and going, "Wow, he's either really angry at me and incompetent, or there was a bee."
Oh, did I hit you?
No, you hit the bee.
Oh, wow. Wait. The Fun and Games at the time was owned by, I've got to believe, my predecessor. I know his name. I wasn't going to say it for purposes of avoiding...
His name was Jason.
That reminds me. Since this is your first time doing this, apparently he's going to say Pumpkin and dub that over every time we use a person's name when discussing that person in an unfavorable light at all.
Or you could use the perfect hair for everything and just have someone shout, "F!"
You can disparage us. If we're physically here to be insulted, that's okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well then. Buckle your safety belt.
Oh, shit!
I
just got a topic.
Anyway, at the time, Fun and Games had a wall bisecting... I guess bisecting implies equal area, doesn't it? There was a wall across the back of the main sales room, creating a separated area. The pathway through this wall had been knocked through the drywall with a claw hammer, and then a bookshelf had been put in front of it and attached to the wall via hinges, so it was sort of like a poor man's secret bookshelf entrance door. So we had assumed that the wall had already been there, and that the owner before me, whose name I'm definitely not going to use because I think there's still an outstanding warrant for his arrest.
You might be right about
Will. I have a sordid past.
That guy apparently built that wall. We assumed he'd just punched the hole in it. Anyway, but it made for a nice, like, really just gross, skeezy role-playing game dedicated room in the back of Fun and Games where the Virginia Tech role-playing game club could meet.
It was roughly on par of the back of a hippie van, but with higher seats.
I don't feel like there was too much going on in the way of shag, perhaps on the role-playing table itself.
That was moss.
That's just how we know it was not rolling. What were we there for?
I think it was a God RPG meeting where Squires just got sick of us. Because we had a lot of meetings in Squires, but I think we didn't have a room booked that week.
Was Nate still the president? I guess he would actually be the president,
yes.
unlike the de facto president. This is another good short, like, one-sentence story. Gathering of the Role Players Guild.
So God RPG.
So it was like one of those...
Recursive acronym?
Yeah. Berserkronym. We're going to have to use that now. So let it be written. Anyway.
The strength-based caster.
And the first president was the guy who founded the club. And when he left school for whatever reason... The new president was chosen by Nose Game. And the first one was me. I was the first de facto president.
You're right.
And the second was you?
Yeah. I got in by virtue of being grandfathered. They're like, you've been in the club longer than the rest of us. By virtue of being so old, you should be dead.
I think that was just the excuse that they used on you, because the, well, you didn't touch your nose quick enough, was good enough for me, but you might have punched someone.
We did have an English major at the time. Maybe he got president and precedent mixed up. He's like, you've been here before, you're in charge.
So what are we, did we do anything in that meeting? Did we actually play anything? Did we talk about something?
Probably. I answered the question that was presented. I don't think Laura was there, which means it was in my first year.
The only thing
was before I knew anyone's name.
The only time I remember playing in that room was Pat's crazy ass over the top epic level campaign. That was the room where that campaign happened.
Happened is a strong word.
Happened isn't a strong enough word. Not for that campaign. But you were definitely not in it.
Nope.
Because there were a number of people who were.
Yep.
Like Sadler and Marconi.
Oh, you mean F and F? Yeah.
F and F-er. So that wasn't exactly our first role playing experience together then.
Would that be during one of the playtests or the PvP campaign?
Oh, good, the PvP campaign. We should tell this story.
This is a story that needs to happen, because campaign, that's just never a good idea.
Campaign,
It was more like a tournament.
Well...
Yeah, there's a system for that. It's called Not D&D.
The first one was a tournament.
Yeah, the first one was totally a tournament.
Eventually it became a Wednesday thing.
Was that the one where Megan and Amanda ended up versus each other in a round, and they, like... were too affable to hit each other.
That sounds real familiar.
Yeah, I know that happened in one of them, but I'm not sure if that was the first one.
Okay. How do these tournaments work?
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Oh, okay.
In rounds.
If they're women, they can just be friends.
Ah, but between each round, you had a 9 months later title card and everybody leveled up 5 times.
That's not even an exaggeration.
So you basically walk in with a level 5, a level 10, and a level 15 version of your character, because hope springs eternal. 8 people walked in, 4 people walked out disappointed with a level 10 and 15 character, like, well, now what? Then 2 people punched up at level 10, and then the remaining people punched up at level 15. The winner was somebody who chose a drastically overpowered build at level 5, where all he could shoot was lightning. But he did it from far away, so he, like, barely won. Round 2, at level 10, all he shot was the same lightning, but slightly louder. And he barely won that one. But at level 15, that build got free flight. So first round was 200 feet up, and rounds 2 through end were hurling lightning from the sky, like a vengeful deity.
Yeah, that was definitely, that guy was in the other half of the bracket from Megan and Amanda, because I'm pretty sure one of them was the one that he threw that lightning at.
Was this the competition for which I cast Stone Skin? Story comes?
Oh that my was, goodness, it was!
I want to hear that.
It was not, because that was a team battle, because I was flanking someone.
Hmm.
That was during the Wednesday night thing, probably. Or just a, we have no better ideas, let's punch the people we hate during a Thursday night weekly meeting.
I have a strong feeling that whatever that was, though, was versus in some manner. Like there
Absolutely.
Was, yeah, so it was just party versus party?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was 3-on-3.
There are a number of good micro stories that come out of the player versus player D&D quasi-event that happened with the RPG Club in those first few years. So, you remember the actual series of spells that the guy cast, right?
It was a wizard. Or a sorcerer, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he had managed to stand still, not on his turn, as D&D characters are wont to do. And a person approached him on one side, and then I approached him on my other. Or on his other. And then he realized, I'm flanked. There's a word for this. I think at the time I was raging with my greatsword-wielding rogue barbarian. So it's just a scary thing you don't want to be in melee with. So
especially when it's flanking you.
Yeah, so he's there going, okay, it's all right, I have a plan. I am going to cast Lightning Bolt on the heavily armored guy next to me. And I say, but that's a spell. I get an attack of opportunity. He says, but first, I am going to fly 50 feet up into the air. I said, so you're moving. That provokes an attack of opportunity. But first, I will cast Stone Skin. That's the same... That's still a spell!
Stone Skin to increase his natural... Is it natural armor?
DR.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So at this point, he has queued 3 turns of actions. I consider that a declaration. He's like, okay, so maybe if I go over here and I 5-foot step, then I fly, then you only get an attack from one of us. what if I cast the... No! He's like, fine. I get the attack of opportunity. Rolled a two. It wasn't funny unless I missed.
That's true. And therefore, that's the only way it could have happened.
Although I'm pretty sure that I cast Stone Skin made it into the flavor text of our first un-in-game set.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. But first, I cast Stone Skin actually became very mimetic. I drew the maps that these battles would happen on. I at the time, had a particular affinity for drawing little D&D maps for people to fight on of various sizes.
He had something of a problem.
Yeah, you could call it that. And so there were a number of different maps that basically the players were randomly assigned to them. So, for example, I know that the one that Megan and Amanda failed to fight each other on was a snow-covered peak. There was, like, a small stone shrine. The entire thing was on a fairly steep vertical grade, and there was a huge chasm connected by a very destroyable rope bridge between them. I want to say, at level 10, could somebody have gotten a mount, a flying mount of some kind? I want to say a griffin was involved, but I might be,
okay.
I might be crossing wires with your wife, who's known to fly on the back of griffins.
As soon as you can buy a plane, you can fly a plane. Just ask John Travolta.
That's a mount you can just buy, I guess, with money.
Well, as long as you're friends with it.
Right.
You can buy it, but you can't buy their love. Again, John Travolta.
The, does that count as speaking negatively on John Travolta?
He's a notable public figure. He doesn't count.
Oh, good. He has no protection from us.
Well, notable public and figure, pick two.
Anyway, one of these boards was a... X feet by X feet, I want to say 50 feet perhaps, probably, yeah, 10 squares sounds about right, maybe 8 squares. Flat stone slab in the middle of a field of 4 foot tall grass. And I remember very clearly a fight between a druid and a rogue. Their starting positions were each at opposite end of the slab, and it was sort of like a Dragon Ball Z scene, facing off. And so we both had them, you know, roll initiative. And on the first carry, I'm sure the rogue went first, and his very first action was to turn around and dive into the tall grass and make a hide check. And then the druid cast invisibility. And we knew this was going to take a long time. It turns out that I'd also designed this map with little rabbit holes that, like, if you went crawling around in the grass, you could find these random, like, holes in the ground and crawl around in tunnels underneath. And I want to say that when they finally met up with each other, it was by bumping into each other head first in these tunnels. However, since one was invisible and the other was hidden so well... Oh, right, blind happened.
The thief?
How could the thief have blinded her, though?
No, I mean blind the thief, the boss of the skull dungeon under the Village of Outcasts in Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
No.
Oh, okay.
At some point, blindness became a part of the story. I gotta believe it was that the druid was blinded. So she ended up blind, so then he didn't have to hide anymore. He was invisible by virtue of her blindness, and she was invisible by virtue of her greater invisibility, so that she, you know, did not blow invisibility even when she threw a spell at him. And I remember that when it finally resolved, they ended up climbing back onto the stone plate, mostly out of boredom and the realization that whatever cruel god had put them in this situation was never going to let them go. So they could either get married and grow old together in that field, or roll at a 50% mischance against each other until one of them croaked. I want to say the rogue one, because I feel like I remember that character dying to the lightning bolts from the sky.
There was a lot of, I have no idea what's going on, these things should never have interacted in the PvP things. Remember one point, it was two paladins versus a paladin and I think a rogue. The exact classes are irrelevant, except that these two paladins were on horses. And these two people were not. So the first thing that happened was, maybe it wasn't a rogue. Oh no, it was because they drank a potion. First thing that happened was the rogue was like, I go first. I drink a potion of invisibility. The second thing that happened was the paladin on the mount says, I throw a thing where if you fail a save, you are caught in an invisible force field. So my paladin just sat there. It's like, rogue, what? And then just ride by attacks until I ran into a house, shut the door, and waited by the door with my sword above my head. Turns out two is more than one, and I did not win.
I remember the hide in the house from the ride by attacks. I think I was there for that.
I think that was Laura.
That makes sense.
I think that was my wife that abandoned me. Couldn't even contact me. Like, in a wall of force, like, dunk, dunk, dunk. Well, here I am. I think she stayed invisible. I think when that wore off, she just quietly snuck away, like, I ain't winning.
I was like, can you concede? I'm like, only if you can escape. I escape.
I remember Crazy Ivan made it into the player versus player thing at one point.
That wasn't Crazy Ivan. It was a different character with an adamantium ladder.
I just want to point out that sentence in the background. It was a whole bunch of...
Blake has a fondness for characters that wield adamantium ladders as weapons.
Man, that wields things that aren't weapons as weapons.
Fair
Didn't
enough.
You build that dual whip wielder? What about Hammer and Hank? Did yeah. you have somebody who wielded an entire goblin crew with an ogre with a cannon on their shoulders? But I digress. It was a battlefield with a whole bunch of pillars sticking out of the ground at various points. And way down at the bottom was, I think, electric instant death spikes of lava or water. Something, it was either fully one way or fully the other, just a mundane lake. And I think it was me and someone versus a halfling on a dog and someone.
I want to say Dave was there.
Oh, wait. This might have been 3-on-3, because I think this was the session where we were watching Adult Swim, and they had flying shark versus flying alligator.
Mm.
And they had an alligator with wings, and they had a shark with a jetpack. And they said vote on them for meaningless things, because Twitter wasn't a thing yet. So if you want to vote meaninglessly, you have to go to a website. Ooh. So they were like, alright, I'm going to build a winged alligator. Alright, I'm going to build a shark with a jetpack, because that's what those two guys sounded like. And they had a punch-up in the stratosphere while we were down there just on the blotch looking up like, well, I guess we fight each other or something.
I remember when we ended up on that map, though, this character, I think, was... See, the thing is, he had a ladder, but he didn't actually use it to fight. He just carried it around. This was like my tool bag guy who had, like... For no good
Blake's
reason.
Andy Haversack.
Yeah, yeah. He had like a hammer and like a battering ram.
Not like a war hammer. We mean like a claw hammer.
Yeah, for hammering and removing nails.
He also had nails.
And the ladder might not have actually been an adamantium ladder. It might have just been a regular ladder. But I know that my climb check was below. Like, it was... When I looked at that 10-foot gap between two, you know, vertical stone columns, I was like, ooh, this is not a problem I can solve because I ain't jumping it. And I, even if I am jumping it, I'll probably catch it with my fingers and then fall. And I'm pretty sure it was regular water because I'm pretty sure I ended up in that water.
Sounds real familiar.
And then I was just holding on to the wall because I couldn't swim in my full plate with not very good strength score. But before I fell, I believe I set up the ladder as a bridge. And
you
I actually
did that a couple of times. You made it to the middle of the battlefield like that.
That's right. I remember climbing up the ladder between the columns and then pulling it up behind me so that I couldn't be followed. By something that was somehow as slow as me attempting to follow me.
That might have been the halfling on a dog.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Halfling on dog was definitely out of his depth.
Because I remember halfling on dog walking across ladder rungs. I'm like, this needs to be filmed. But where are we going to find a dog?
The basic idea behind the player versus player night, I think, was less about building... Well, I don't know, we were awfully young and playing D&D, so it probably was about building broken builds and, like, measuring your D&D peen.
But it was about, intellectual exercises.
Right.
It was, let's get this out of my system.
Yeah. Or, at certain, if that wasn't what it was about, it's what it became about. And I think it made us both much better gamers for it, because a lot of those, like, broke ideas or just, I don't know, the that level of wanting to compete with the other players in the party was sort of something that we were able to get off our chests and not really have to worry about too much ever since. Because one of the things that I think is definitely true about me and Heiko for a lot longer than many of our people that we played with from that group, we were over the idea of my character is better than yours way before everyone else was.
Well, I mean, especially in third edition, it was a mechanical exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you could build whatever you wanted, and if you had system mastery, then you could build some really absolutely crazy stuff.
Another big part of it was it meant a way to get together and play D&D without a DM having to prepare a story. Like, there were the maps, and there was some, you know, little rules on the maps, and I'm pretty sure at least once there was actually a city with NPCs in it, because I remember a rogue taking a hostage.
And there were miniatures, because this was back when Wizards started putting out plastic miniatures. That just started. So it's like, you're gonna be this guy with a hammer, because hammer and grid X have the same number of letters. They really don't. Shut up. You're the guy with the hammer. And you're gonna be the, you're gonna be the alien monkey. Because shut up.
Which one is the alien monkey?
You know, the one.
Is it like a demon?
Look, these weren't my miniatures.
Heiko has an extensive selection of miniatures, which I can't imagine hasn't memorized.
But I didn't have the Nothic.
What's that?
It's a creature with one big eye and the creepiest freaking grin on its face.
Oh.
But it also has arms that go all the way to the ground. And its whole job is looking at you going, "Ha! You got great bones!" And just terrifying you.
Rolling back down the stack to the GARPG Club, there's some other good stories from the GARPG Club. What else do you remember? The other things that I remember from the GARPG Club was having to differentiate the Daves. Because we had four Daves.
None of which were me.
As many as six.
We had four Daves at one point, and I remember sitting there saying, "Okay, we can't just call you all Dave. And all of your last names are too hard to pronounce." Which wasn't even a little true. But I just posted on the forum and said, "Okay, we need to come up with some sort of naming methodology. I suggest theme naming. For example, we can call everybody a Pokemon. So we have Pika Dave and Jiggly Dave and Davizard and things like this.
Davy Puff.
Or we could name you..." No, we already had a Jiggly Dave.
Oh, you're right, right.
Which is now a fairy.
Funny enough, I'm pretty sure that actually happened on the forum. Like, that conversation we just had happened on that forum where someone said Jiggly Dave, and then I said, "Hey, how about Davy Puff?" And someone said, "We already got Jiggly Puff with Jiggly Dave."
You could also be, you could be, weapon enhancements. You could be Flaming Dave and Vorpal Dave and Range Dave. Or you could be songs from Dance Dance Revolution. You could have Boom Boom Daver and Doobie Dave and things like that. And a couple of people posted saying, "As long as I'm not Flaming Dave, I think I'm okay with this." But eventually, two of the Daves disappeared. The only ones that were left were Jiggly Dave, who was rail thin, and Boom Boom Daver, who was not.
There was a time when we flirted with just calling them Fat Dave, Thin Dave, Old Dave, and New Dave.
I think I was New Dave.
Fat Dave, Thin Dave, Old Dave, and...
Blue Dave.
No.
Red Dave.
The Dave in the hat. Green Dave and eggs.
It was New Dave.
Oh, the Dave Jill Dave.
It was, I remember it now. It was old.
First of Dave Timber.
My initial theory as de facto president was Fat Dave, Thin Dave, Old Dave, and New Dave. But Old Dave wasn't old in the same sense that New Dave was new. New Dave was new because he was substantially newer to the club than the other three. Old Dave was old because he was 38.
Which is ancient.
Well, when you're, 20.
It's pretty hard to be 20 and 38 at the same time.
It's a very old 20.
But Old Dave,
we have some special people
in
that
58.
And Fat Dave, I know for a fact, had no problem with being called Fat Dave.
That guy was fun. Yeah, it was the mage campaign. We all came in to a White Wolf campaign with backstories, and he just handed the GM his backstory. "Dave?
Yeah.
Is this your backstory?
Yeah.
It's written on a bar napkin.
Yeah.
Dave, this is the plot to Clear and Present Danger.
Yeah.
He got 2 XP.
That was the same.
He was entropy-based sniper, where he shot his gun and it probably landed in you.
That was the same Dave that broke 2 chairs at my apartment.
At once.
No, they weren't even on the same night.
It's your fault for putting a gap in the middle of your sentence.
The apartment that I lived in was a furnished apartment. It came with a couple of cheap, furnished college apartment chairs, and I had these parties every couple of weeks where everyone would come over and watch Gargoyles. It wasn't new at the time. It wasn't that old. Dave sat in one of my chairs and broke it. Broke the back out of it. I want to be clear that he was not, 300 pounds. This guy, I would not describe as... He would probably be, I would guess, close to the average American build. He was just fat compared to the other three Daves.
He was... He carried it well. He was husky.
Yeah, yeah. He seemed like he was one of those guys that could be big but still athletic, like a football player or a pro wrestler.
The kind of guy you didn't want to get into a fight with.
So, he certainly didn't break that chair just because of his, overbearing weight. Maybe it was destined to break anyway. I mean, that was how we explained the first chair. And then the next
week... held together by a phone cable.
He broke another chair. The relevance of that story... is that later when I built that couch, my only carpentry experience was in home remodeling. I'd never built a piece of furniture out of the type of wood you use to build a piece of furniture, so I just went with what I know, and I bought 2x4s and 1/4-inch plywood.
Yep.
And I built a couch out of that material, which ended up being very heavy, very cumbersome, hard to move around, and nigh indestructible. And I remember when Dave came to the animation party the first time after I had built that couch. I was like, "Dave, you and your whole family could not break this couch." And he couldn't. I win.
I remember moving that couch into the store. I remember us all laid out for Dead Rising.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crazy night when we were sitting there saying, all right, let's just all sit around and watch Dead Rising because we are literally this bored. And somebody beat the game. It might have been Jamie at the time. And the credits rolled and we're like, all right, let's look at all the zombies because, you know, we got the bad ending. So one of the zombies has to be the PC. And then the credits finished and then it gave us the time of day and we got playable again. We're like, the frick? We stayed until like 3 a.m. going through the true ending of that game.
That was also, I believe, the time when we started experimenting with the different drinks you could mix in Dave Rising.
No, you're right. Dead
Rising. That's the name.
That's
of
a lot of
Dave.
That's the porn parody.
That's the porn parody.
So anyway, we got the speed drink, and we theorized that perhaps the speed drink didn't actually make you move faster; it just increased the game clock.
We were wrong.
Well, then we drank the speed drink and we pulled out the chainsaw. Remember that?
Have you ever seen someone use a chainsaw? They don't use it in a figure eight motion while running.
But that's exactly how Frank West did.
But they didn't put that in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. No, they used somebody else's chainsaws tucked to each end of an oar because that's somehow more awesome than figure eight chainsaw. That should have been his hyper move. He didn't use the shopping cart. That was the vet.
That guy was a vet?
He had non-flashbacks. That was his job.
The veteran was in the hardware store. The guy in the grocery store was the actual owner of the grocery store.
Wait, then which one had the shopping cart?
The guy in the grocery store. But it was like, he had rigged that shopping cart up with spikes and metal and stuff.
I like how there's more spikes in the grocery store than in the hardware store. That makes sense.
Well, the guy in the hardware store, remember, he had all those, like, foxholes he could jump into.
No, I didn't.
There were little trap doors everywhere.
I still didn't play
everywhere.
This game.
Oh, okay.
I've experienced nothing. Ever.
Fair enough. What else do we want to talk about from the God RPG Club?
Oh, specifically from the God RPG Club?
Well, since that's kind of how we met.
I think when it folded, we still owed this college $5.
I was gone by then. That was gone by then. Yeah, that one's on you. Oh, wait, really? Was there a de facto president after you?
Yep.
Who was it?
It was Matt. He knows. He might not know that we owed the college $5, though.
Yeah, I guess putting a recording on the internet that you owe Virginia Tech $5 and then calling you out by name A, counts as portraying someone in a negative light, and B, is likely to invite legal action from Virginia Polytechnic Institute, because they're jerks like that.
It's $5.
Yes, and but we also just called them jerks like that on
this
camera.
Podcast. With interest. Yes.
They prosecute if I put flyers on campus.
They don't prosecute Blake.
That's because I'm too fast. Can't catch me. I'm the running man.
Why do we have a campus with so much land and two terrain runners? He's a college student. He'll show up at the Ritas eventually. We'll just wait there.
Brilliant.
No, I want Ritas.
Brilliant ploy. We can get Ritas after.
I want Ritas Italian ice.
I will take your word that that's a thing.
Not Ritas after. Johnny gets it.
And on that note,
it's true.
All right, is that
thank
enough?
Thank you, that's plenty.
Okay, good.
Thank you guys so much.
Edit heavily.
Of course. Is there anything you want to plug? We'll put your links to your websites up on the show notes.
So he doesn't have to manually plug DMing with Charisma?
Read DMing with Charisma. It's good.
/// ///
By the time this post is up, I'll probably have reviewed Mythic Adventures.
Ooh, what's that?
A new book that comes out in August.
Is that...
I don't know how long the lead time is for these things.
What is a source book?
It's the Pathfinder Epic Level Handbook.
Oh, neat.
But it's first level Epic.
Really?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Maybe it's sixth level Epic. But the whole point is, welcome to Pathfinder. You build a character. Also, staple the following half-deific abilities to it. For getting the super powerful thing out of people's system without going to level 30 where all the things break.
I remember what her character looked like because it was dramatic and she drew it in full color, I want to say.
It was a half fae, but you know how some fae are like butterflies and some are like frogs. Well, she was half Lunamoth. Nice. And don't forget the white trench coat.
I will never forget
the waist-length silver hair.
It's a shame that all the stress that you feel has caused you to go gray, because she'd be all over that.
Internet. I know, right? It's just causing me to lose my hair. Mm. It's causing me to lose your hair. Keep wearing white and jeans, though. You got a Bruce Willis thing going on, back when he was redeemable.
You know, it's funny. I guess I do kind of have a Bruce Willis thing going on today.
I meant to shave
today. I just forgot. I was in the shower, and I ran my hand over the top of my head. I was like, oh.
Blake can't help but look like a badass most of the time.
Thank you.
It's okay.
This is not a problem I have.
Radio.
This is why we work so well together. I look like the Steve Jobs to his Bruce Willis.
Actually,
close friends.
The funny thing about that is I think that Heiko moves like a badass.
That's because you move like a person with purpose, and I limp like I have battle damage.
Well, there's also the...
Blake stipulation. The voiceover for that part is, Dave makes a movement like a monkey.
You mean Blake?
No. Look at him right there, slouching like a chimp. Chimps, notable slouchers.
Hoppy and Woolwine were in the story where the guy, it was actually, I want to say Woolwine, that said, are there really that many people at the store named Michael? And I was like, everyone sitting at this table is named Michael, including you!
So any plugs?
What do you think, Blake?
I'm doing whatever.
What do you think, Blake's shirt? Blake's decidedly lumberjackish but un-Bruce Willie shirt.
Well, I went to the local game store, and it was really cool. It's a place called Fun and Games. Highly recommend it.
What's it like?
Well, it's great, and it's got some awesome people there, and there's all sorts of cool stuff to do.
It sounds like it has a very friendly atmosphere.
It does.
Do they vacuum frequently?
Every Sunday.
That sounds magnificent. Does the owner bathe?
Probably.
Wow! It is categorically the greatest game store I have been in since Imaginarium closed.
It is worth noting that the owner no longer bathes in the store. Two owners previously, that was a thing that happened.
Oh man, I'm going to have to tell that story
sometime. No, that one was going to have the serial numbers filed heavily off, though, I think.
Nah, it's fine.
I think two owners previously is sufficient filing.
No, this is okay.
Sufficiently
We can use that guy's name because we don't have his real name. Remember when that hobo came in?
I want to hear this story. Oh wait, Voldemort?
No.
The other hobo?
This was actually a more classical hobo than Voldemort.
Okay.
This was an older guy, and he came into the store, and he introduced himself as Rick Lee. And I was like, Rick Lee was the name of the owner of this store two owners ago. And he was like, yeah, I sold him my identity.
Oh dear.
So how'd that go for the hobo?
And on that note, I think... Thank you, Blake.
Wow.
Thank you, Heiko.
My eyes get second villain. Oh, that's alphabetical. All right.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.
Wait, you don't know Blake's middle name?
No, I don't know Heiko's.
Oh, okay. It's Ross.
It's we're Scottish.
Now I have power over you.
You know his true name.
I remember when that.
But my true name is not spelled using the English alphabet.
Is it like R, umlaut, C, or something?
No, Ross isn't Ukrainian.
Umlaut. I made it up.
Yes, my middle name is umlaut.
Ross omelet.
No, it's umlaut. It's where you draw an om over the symbol, right?
Exactly.
It's an ancient French name.
It's an O with an omega over it to represent its resistance.
This is a particularly resistant O. It's hindering the amount of current that can flow between the R and the S.
And that's why no one knows my name. No one can spell it.
I can't get through it.
It's like, what?
Eventually, someone with high enough voltage
will
defeat
what
your
alt
name.
Code is resistant O? Is it three? It's three.
I'm brimming with voltage.
Well, that's in place of food.